right. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Once again, we're doing a one-on-one interview with some professional talents. Tonight, we're interviewing actress Leticia Jimenez, another San Antonio native. You've seen her in various movies such as Intruders, Jake's Road, The Great Divide, and The Historian, as well as the cable TV series Bronx SIU. She has guest starred most notably on Dream and had a very emotional role on The Fosters for the longest time on Freeform Network. Here, she's going to just, you know, share some of her various projects and how she got into the industry. So, welcome.
I'm glad to be here.
Anytime. Like many of the talents I've interviewed, it's very cool to just know that there's just many who are just going back and forth, you know, between the various happening scenes, Atlanta, LA, then North Carolina. And I've been around the San Antonio area, so it is kind of very cool to just know that there's just other quarters of Texas where everyone's been able to find, just, you know, make a living doing this.
So I'm from San Antonio, Texas. I mean, obviously, hello. But right now, yeah, I'm living in Los Angeles. And it's kind of funny. I actually got started. I'm a dancer. Like, that's my, like,
yeah,
background and all that stuff. So, yeah. And that, but in San Antonio, especially in Texas, there's a lot of, I guess, places you can go, a lot of facilities, a lot of, you know, as far as like dance schools or acting, you know, schools and stuff like that. It's kind of like, it's a little an eclectic kind of culture and all that. And it's developing more and more, which is very good. It's really awesome.
That's a good point. Because Texas is just, you know, it's very twisted how there's many who have their different favorite cities. There's like various capitals, you know. Are you an Austin person? Are you a Dallas person? Are you an Antonio person? Either way, if you can live there and you love it, then, well, why does that be a rivalry? It's just... Right. I did see some of your previous interviews, and it is very cool to know that you've been in so many roles, which it doesn't matter how much screen time you had or how big a part it was, you found the emotion in it. You mentioned especially The Fosters, how that was a family show, but it touched on real world topics like immigration and...
Absolutely.
And, you know, you've been fortunate to be in all kinds of movies, independent pictures, TV movies, as well as kids films. What's been your favorite ensemble so far?
I love them all. I don't know. That's hard. That's so hard to say, because every experience I've had, like, even if it's been like on a big production, like, for example, I did Walker, right? Walker, Texas, the new Walker, the reboot.
Yeah, the reboot.
In a bigger production or whatever. But I mean, everybody was so nice and so amiable. I don't know. But then I have a special place too. I did this movie actually recently when all the whole pandemic happened, right? The Inheritance.
Oh, man.
It's a big movie. I know. And I'm like... But so with that little group, we were all thankful to be working and we kind of like, we had to be quarantined with ourselves anyway. So like, we kind of built like a special bond with each other because of that. So that was actually kind of cool. This is when it had just happened and shutdown had just happened. And like this little small production was like, well, we're going to do this film during this like huge, the whole world was locked down. So that was kind of special in the sense that I did that. And we kind of like, you know, we have a special bond because of that, I guess. So, but I love them all. I know.
So no, that's great. Yeah, I mean, because you've been in some big ones like A Girl Like Grace with Megan Good, as well as Pitch Perfect too. So.
And which is what is really cool too, is when you meet, because I mean, people like talk and everybody talks, but I love it when you meet someone who has a name in there, you know, a well-established actor, you know, and they're just so nice and they're so welcoming and they're giving.
You would have this fear. Oh, better not go near them.
Right. No, they're so friendly and they want to do a good thing. You know, you have to, because you're like a team and every scene it's a team effort. Right. So like, the person has to give and then the other person reacts. So, I mean, it's really cool, you know, when you meet people like that and you're able to work with people like that. And it's like, yeah, we're all in this together. We want to do a, you know, a good job and do a good product. And so that has actually been really cool. I have yet to have had a bad experience. So
that's good. That answered even more questions. So let's backtrack a bit. What were some of your icons just growing up where which just played into your pursuit of this industry?
Oh God. Okay. Growing up, I have so many. I know.
Just name two. One actor, one actress.
Meryl Streep. I love Meryl Streep.
Okay, even better. One of the greats. One of the greats.
Yeah. One of the greats. But then I can go like old school. Like I like Audrey Hepburn. I like Rita Hayworth, who is actually a flamenco dancer. So I kind of like.
There you go.
You know, she was actually a flamenco dancer. Her father was her dance partner, and she learned flamenco, and they were she was dancing, and somebody saw her, I guess, in where was it? The other side, in Tijuana, I think it was. And anyway,
I think so. Like, yeah.
Right? Which is really cool. Yeah. So I guess, yeah, those actresses. I mean, there's just so many, you know? And then you fall in love with another one when you like, you know, especially the up and coming, like the youth now, like, you know, young actresses too. There's so many. So, yeah.
No, that's great. And who were some of your acting mentors that helped you get signed? I'm sorry. I'm not trying.
I know you're going deep. I'm just going to tell you my life story. So, which is kind of weird. You already know, like, I kind of like segue, but it's all kind of like the same beast, I guess, the entertainment. So, like, for my dancing, I went into acting, and I actually got into acting. Acting
as a dance, basically.
Right. It's like kind of like no words, but you're emoting. So, it was actually an ex-boyfriend of mine who, I'm like, Michael Mayhall, he's a great guy, who that's actually good. Directed Jake's Road. And I think he wrote it and directed it.
I love that movie. No, it's yeah, really cool.
It's
a very creepy movie, too.
It's a creepy movie.
Because one minute it's like a hard target, you know, fight to the death. Then the next minute it's like a death cult.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got a very impressive budget and doesn't drag.
That's good. It was good. It was good. And he's also been directing a lot of other stuff. See, I worked with him again on SIU Bronx.
Okay, very nice. Yeah, Brian J. White's procedural. Uh-huh. Yeah, I saw the DVDs at Walmart around the same time. I kept seeing the ads that it was like on certain select cable channels, and I think you can buy it online. It was like it was streaming on some platforms, and that's where isn't it so wild how you come in at the right time where now even just the streaming platforms are selling their shows to the other streaming platform. You know
exactly. Yeah, it's like catch a whole release. Right now. I know. And the whole, like, and even when, like, now with the whole Netflix and all those online streaming, you know, platforms, it's just
fishing
like,
a small pond.
Yeah. So, but I have to say it was him. He's the one who actually got me into acting. He was like, hey, why don't you, you know, speak, if you will? No, why don't you, you know, audition, or why don't you try it out? And I was like, I can talk. No, just kidding. So, yeah, crazy enough. Yeah.
Did you have to adapt to Zoom? Pre or post pandemic to do anything like voiceovers or auditions?
Oh, auditions. Auditions. So like before, well, for like callbacks and things like that, they were doing a lot of Zoom. Booked the movie, all that stuff, there was a lot of Zoom. A lot of self-tapes. But yeah, the only things that are crazy are like for me are like commercials, auditions on the Zoom, right? Like
you don't know what they're looking for. If you might not ever see any feedback, so that's annoying because you don't know if you did something wrong or if they just didn't make time for you.
Yeah.
It's like, well, thanks.
But there you'll have like the person like on the other side of the camera, and then sometimes like you're auditioning with another person, but that other person is exactly so like kind of like what we're doing right now, but they do a split
screen. That's horrifying.
I know. And so you're like acting to this. That's the only thing that you're like, well, it's kind of wonky, but you have to get used to it. That was kind of,
totally.
But Zoom, yeah. And Zoom is now like the thing, you know, auditions, callbacks. It's like, so.
An investment. So you noted earlier that you've been blessed to just have a lot of wonderful experiences, reliable agent, great. Connects. Did you ever have kind of a fail safe? So like, let's say, long story short, you got onto a project and it turned out to not be a professional, you know, production, and or you're working with a prima donna actor or a director who's just not very helpful. What are your backdrops for if something were to go awry?
And
you can't back out or what have you, you know?
Right, because you signed the contract. I would, yeah. Since honestly, I've never had that happen. I don't want to jinx myself. Turn around, spit.
Don't say Lady Macbeth's name.
I know, right? So, but I guess I would probably just, you know, do my work, you know, stay in my character, kind of like put myself in my own little bubble. This is, you know, just do the best that I can. Because at the end of the day, I mean, you always give your best and you always, and for whatever scene you are, you know, you always have to give, you know, because a lot of times too, like, like in the scene and they have people, you know, they're either doing, you know, your footage or they're, you know, now it's my camera time or whatever and stuff like that. And it's all about give and take. So it's always nice to like when you're giving all the time, let's say it's your close up scene. And I have to give it to you and maybe you have to cry or you have to be angry, right? And if I'm just reading my lines, like, because I'm not on camera, or, you know, if I'm not reading my lines or if I'm just like walking through it, I mean, that's terrible. So I would never do that. That's one of my best, I know. But just, so just focus on the work, focus on yourself. You do a great job and that's all you have to worry about. And the other person kind of like just, yeah, in my mind, I'm like, well, you know, if they're like that, well, they have to deal with themselves, you know, they have to live with that. So just right. let them do their thing. And you just like focus on you and do the best job you can. Cause that's the only thing you can control anyway.
Absolutely. I was an extra on various productions and it got very humiliating seeing how unprofessional the other extras were being. I'm like, okay, these pit talents, they're being very courteous to you. But don't think for a minute, you know, you should share the screen with them. You got to sign up for SAG before you even start thinking that.
Extras work hard, though, too. They do.
No, they do. I'm just, but like, these were really overstepping it. Like, they were trying to date half the assistants and everything. It was getting way too intense. I'm like, okay. One of them went up and hugged Alicia Braga on her hit TV show. I was like, okay, well, she's nice, but ask. Shit.
Boundaries, right? Yeah,
this is not an autograph session.
You're working, I know. Yeah,
keep it. And then they were trying to get IMDb credit on all of them. I'm like, don't do that. It's okay when you're starting off, but I mean, come on, you're not even in the final episode. And any other talents that just kind of just really awakened your soul, where you're just like, man, I want to work with them again down the road?
You know, who I've already worked with?
Yeah, and you're just like, I got this idea. If I can even co-write an idea with them, you know, I want them in there.
I want to work with all of them. Oh my God. The movie I did, The Inheritance, Cameron, she was the lead, and Michaela, those two, I would love
to. It was with Method Man, right?
No. This is The Greatest Inheritance. It's actually a faith-based.
The newest one. Yes.
Yeah. Method Man. I remember that one. Yeah. Oh my God.
I saw that in college and I was like, hey, it was an interesting idea.
Yeah. Do you know who I would love to work with though? Johnny Depp.
Okay.
I'd love to work with him. Yeah.
Whatever works.
Whatever works.
But yeah, I mean, so now the industry's changing and people are figuring out new predicaments and different ways to make movies. And fortunately, we fleshed out a lot of the unprofessional types that have been plaguing the industry for a while. What are some of your predictions on like just what's kind of the new thing? Everything's digital now and anyone can basically, it's a free market kind of.
It totally is. Well, like, look at like people like you've got like YouTube influencers, you've got people who are famous just like on Instagram or, you know, or TikTok or what have you, you know? So I think it's we have a camera with us at all times to document whatever we want.
Minority Report 1984.
Yeah. You know, it's like, the future is like limitless. You can only imagine like what they're going to come up with, you know? Yeah, we're already experiencing it with our phones. So it's crazy, you know, and influencers make so much money. Oh my goodness. It's insane. Insane. That's it. They're set. So yeah.
Stellar. do you have any other tips and tricks for rising actors, performers, dancers, comedians?
Put yourself out there and never quit. I know people say this all the time, but because we live in a constant influx of rejection, like constantly, constantly. And you get used to it, you know, okay, no. The hard ones are when you're like, oh, I'm this close. And they're like, sorry. It's like, there's no second place. There's no runner up, you know, there's no
runner
up.
Sometimes they call you back after they already turned you down. You're like, oh, so I'm grateful to be called back, but not the first time. Got it.
Yeah. But just, I would just say never give up and always try and do something. Even now, for example, we have, you know, try to always create something. I have a couple of guys that I work with and we do like different skits and little sketches and we will write things out.
I saw you had a lot of viral web series.
Yeah, and then we film it, you know, because as long as you're around with all these like creative people, I mean, just create, just do it, you know, and then just be a part of that process constantly and never give up. I mean, keep doing what you're doing, keep trekking. I mean, just believe in yourself. And if that, you know, that's the, I guess, the best advice that I can give, because there's going to be a lot of people telling you, why are you doing this? And why do you continue to do this? And because they don't understand, they don't get it. But, you know, you have that passion for it. You have that drive. I mean, nobody's going to stop you. So keep going.
That's wonderful to hear. What are some other just pointers you want to give to people who aren't just listening to any advice or breaking even the simplest rules of entertainment? Like they're getting in the actor zone or interrupting rehearsals.
Oh, like if they do that, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Okay.
Just perfect. Be respectful. I mean, yeah, any job, like anything you do, it's like anything else. And you have to respect, you know, everyone and respect your job, respect the place. I mean, just because you're having a good time and it's fun, it's not a party, you know, it's still work, it's still a job. And you still always bring like your best face, you know, your best foot forward, or, you know, you just have to always be responsible, always be respectful, I think, all the time, and professional. You just have to.
We'll return after these messages.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win Show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR, we add them to our queues, we wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide all across the globe. We are in the US, we are in the UK, we are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan, we're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, all things that we love, all manga that were originally published in the legendary magazine Weekly Shonen Jump.
But not every series can run for 300 chapters and have a hit anime. This is David.
This is Jordan.
We're the hosts of Shonen Flop. Each episode, we look at manga that ran in Jump that didn't quite make it.
We discuss what it did wrong, what it did right, how the series could have turned itself around, and ultimately, was it a flop or not?
Run all your favorite podcast apps, and you can find us at shonenflop.com.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
Be professional in everything you do.
Stellar.
Yeah, even the smallest parts, you know, even extra, whatever you're doing, whatever, you know, on set, just be respectful and be mindful of everyone else. Yeah, professionalism.
Nice. Have you thought of even returning to dancing on the side?
I still do it on the site, actually.
Okay, excellent. Any music concerts or Vegas events or?
I'll do private shows sometimes, mostly. And sometimes I do like concerts or whatever. Yeah, still do it. So I don't tour like I used to because I can't, but I still do it. Keeps me in shape.
If COVID calms down, you might try a few concerts, I guess.
Right. Maybe. Yeah. It's kind of calming down. I don't know if it's going to pick up again, but right. You never know. I can't say I don't want to spook it. I don't want to say nothing.
It's all good. Have you thought of even getting behind the camera and possibly producing or directing?
Yes, actually. I produced Jake's Road. Right. I was one of the producers on that. I would love to. I like to, whenever we do our sketches or whatever, I'll direct the whole thing, you know, which is like getting behind the camera and stuff. I like to direct.
You ever thought of doing open mic night or even live comedy?
I have friends who do it. I respect them so hard. So hard. And, you know, and
you prefer like, scripted versus stand up.
Yeah, it's just they're amazing. It's like I bow down to, you know, whoever does stand up or comedy like that. You know, it's like it's so hard. No, I have not, because I think I have too much. I don't know. I have too much respect for that. I guess I might be like, oh, my God. But yeah, God bless them, man. They're amazing. It's so hard. That's to me, that's like one of the hardest things to get up into. Yeah.
Even more rejection.
Right. Or like if it like hits wrong, it's like, ooh, you know, you got hecklers in the crowd. And it's like
when you're changing. It was funny 2 years ago. Now, ooh, it's too many.
Right? Oh, no.
Yeah. Any upcoming projects that you recently wrapped that you definitely want to promote?
Oh, that are like
free things credited.
Right. I'm trying to think. Now, as of now, no, I don't have anything yet that I need to promote. Just the ones that I've done, you know, Walker, Inheritance. That's about it.
Okay.
Yeah, right now, I don't have anything right now. I mean, there's things in the works. I can't say like the other stuff, but yeah, the things that I've already done that are out now. As of yet, not yet.
So you have a very snappy persona. Have you ever thought of even doing maybe just something direct like TV hosting or DJ work?
Or DJ? I would love to do TV hosting. I've never, but I don't know. If
pays better than commercial, and at the same time, people remember you. You're just like that persona, that person talking.
I would love to be a TV host. That would actually be fun. Yeah, I never thought about it. I'm too busy. Like when you're acting, it's like the scenes and I'm all about, which is crazy. Cause this is how I'll tell you this inside scoop. This is on Walker. And I was with Lindsay, who was the lead at the, one of the leads at the time. She's not on the show anymore, but so we were like waiting to do this scene. And it was like this really emotional scene. Cause I'm like her drug addict mother. Who's
it's
like
way more dramatic as opposed to action.
Yes, and we're talking, and I'm doing all this stuff and dancing, and I'm talking to her, and she's like, everybody's laughing. We had like the makeup artist, everybody was there laughing, and then it's like, and we got to go do this scene and action, and then I'm like, tear. She's like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I've got all these people in my head.
It's got to come loose eventually.
you have to be a little bit cray cray, right? You're gonna be an actor now.
I mean, it's all subjective. What's normal?
Right. Well, yeah. This is true.
Are they going to have you back on the show?
I'm sorry?
Are they going to have you back on the show?
On Walker? Well, yeah, it's open. Yeah, they're talking about it, so we'll see. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to jinx that.
Yeah, no jinx.
what agency do you currently get rep by?
I'm with my manager is Bradley Stokes with Linked Entertainment.
How long have they been around?
Oh my God. So well,
because I knew about Wesley Morris and a bunch of the other talent agencies.
Right, the other big ones and stuff like that. Well, Bradley Stokes has been around for a long time. One of his clients was Chris Evans. He's a manager. He's like big time, but he's so good. I love him so much. And then I have another an agent out here. It's called Aperture. I've been with him for only about 6 years now. But I've been with Bradley for a long time. But he's amazing. He's great. He's another guy who's like knows everybody, knows everything, the ins and outs. And yeah, and he's a
very helpful. Very helpful.
Very helpful. Very helpful. So, yeah.
Why do you suspect how I've seen a lot of people give different advice, and you got to take it with a grain of salt because everyone's got different levels of professionalism, like you're indie or you're mainstream indie, or you have been on some big shows. And it's interesting how some are very critical about how the demo reel looks. I see some actors, even the big ones, breaking the whole having it be over 2 minutes rule. I'm like,
Yeah.
I mean, can you cut it down? You know, because I don't think they're going to watch the whole 5 minute thing. It's good for your IMDb, but yeah.
Oh yeah, the reels. Yeah. It's, I guess, depending too, it's always good to have different ones. Let's say it depends what you're auditioning for. If it's a more dramatic role, to have those dramatic pieces. If it's comedy, to have the funny pieces, you know.
Yeah.
If you have them, that's what I would do. Like, just have different clips. I mean, and if you only have a minute and 30, we'll make it the best minute and 30. You know?
There you go.
Right.
And I've seen some, and I don't know how much of this is their faith and ethics getting in the way. They complain about whether to have profanity in those clips or not. I'm like, I think that just depends on the agency, but what's your take since you're actually living it?
Oh, like, as far as in the reel?
Yeah. Cause it's pretty hard to do, especially if you end up on a TV mature audience rated show like Yellowstone or.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't have a preference to it. I mean, if it's part of it, and if it's a great scene, and you know, and because it's all about that. It's all about your emotion and seeing the actor, right. Like, you know, what character you're portraying. And if that's like a great scene, but it has an F-bomb, well, I would put it in there.
Right.
You know, I think that's kind of, yeah, I think it all, because that's basically what the reel is. It's your calling card, right? It's like, you know, it's like your headshot, you know? So you would always put the best in it. Well, so be it, if it has a curse word. That's how I feel.
Okay, nice.
What are you going to do? You know what I mean?
It seemed like I can understand if it was like a faith-based company. I can't understand if it's just like a typical mainstream company. I don't see why they would care.
Yeah, why they would. Yeah. And a lot of times too, it's basically the casting. So like if you see the reel, right, our reels, this is, and I'm sure you know this, this isn't for people who already, I mean, they know this, but the people who are going to see that reel is basically like the casting director.
Yeah.
Maybe the director, depends what level.
They haven't even probably seen the show. They just need to get a gist of, okay, I see a kind of character role somewhere in this episode.
Yeah, or something. But yeah, so. But yeah. I don't think it matters.
Any places that you have yet to work that you've been tempted to try and operate in?
What do you mean? Like what kind of
places? Like they're filming, doing more and more filming on occasion in places like Oklahoma City and even.
Oh, like to do. Carolina. Well, so right now I'm based in Los Angeles, right? So, I auditioned for like, I mean, I would love to work. I mean, I'd love to work. Let's just put it that way.
Everyone does. Great. Yeah.
Like, that work takes me.
Politics be damned, man. Gotta work.
Right? Usually the hotspots right now is Atlanta, Austin. In Texas, they're filming a lot. New Orleans too, sometimes. But other than that, I mean, depending if it's like on location, you know. But so it's, I can't ever really say like, oh, I'd love to work there. You know what I mean? Like it depends wherever they're filming it, I'll go. So.
If it's workable.
If it's workable, yes.
Now that people are finally figuring out that, you know, actors should actually play their actual ethnicity and get actual roles that they're age appropriate for. Any commentary you'd like to shed on that? Like, is it really getting better, or there's still just some very insensitive, stuck up casting directors that need to wake up?
Here's my theory on that take. I think we need more, like, for example, it's the writers, right? Like,
and they can be pretentious, let's be honest.
Yeah, like in a lot of writers, you write what you know. So if you have, I mean, if you have a 50-year-old white male, you know, writers, that those are the scripts you're going to get, right? So in other words, So it's the writers, you know, you get whatever, you know, whatever genre, whatever you want to, because usually the writers, you write about what you know, you write about your life, right? These aren't characters to us, but you're going to tell me there's an Uncle Carlito somewhere that was somebody's uncle, you know what I'm saying? These characters come from somewhere. I believe that. I strongly believe that. So I think, I mean, the more writers you get out there to tell all these different stories, then I think the parts will come. That's how I feel, because a lot of times you get these movies and there's these parts and it's, you know, it can be ambiguous or it can be whatever, or it can be strictly, you know, Latino, or it can
sometimes be, the director misinterprets it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's what I see. So
it's frustrating when you listen to the commentary tracks and they're like, and they're asked in a follow-up question, what happened to that character? Oh, I don't know. I'm like, I thought the first rule of screenwriting was you know everything, even if it's not on screen. You know what someone's saying on the other end of the line, even if the dialogue isn't there. I think he's dead. Well, showed him in the hospital bed. Do you even know what character we're talking about? But now that's cool that their inclusion's getting better, because for a while it did seem like we're just, you know, we're still having the gender wars and cancel culture, and now we're still having just people is like, okay, she's Chinese and she's playing a Native American. Yeah, no, this is a dangerous path.
Yeah. I think, and that too, I think like now, I think more so like Native Americans, I'm hoping, I think they get more, you know, more of a chance to audition, especially, that's what I'm telling you, you need to have those parts.
Have you thought of auditioning for Dark Winds?
For Dark Woods?
Dark Winds.
Dark Winds?
It's a new AMC Tony Hillerman adaptation.
Oh, wow.
6 episodes. A few Breaking Bad baddies on there as well. But
it's kind of
the Native American sleeper show of the year. The lead was previously one of the deputies on Longmire.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And the main gal, she was also in like a few just very well acclaimed like indie Native American crime dramas. So it's like, it's taken off.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good. You know, and like you say, you know, if it calls for, you know, a certain Native American, well, then a Native American, there's actors out there. I mean, there's great actors out there. Let them play the part. Yeah, absolutely. That has to happen. There's no doubt.
Totally. Any other things that are just kind of just really standing out, like just really big LA events and promos and just like other stuff that's just kind of just comforting you, because you're just like, hey, the industry's still alive and well, it's improving. Anything you want to kind of touch on?
Well, absolutely, it's improving. It's come back like full force, you know, especially after COVID, and now they have, they have all these restrictions, and they, you know, you get tested like every day, you know, so if they're so tight that it's just like a fine oiled machine by now. So, you know, I'm auditioning the pilots, and there's so many new shows, and not just that, we need content, because when the COVID hit, everybody was streaming and all, you know, but there was nothing new because no one could film for a long time. So there's a lot of, you know, people want that content, you know? So yeah. So it's actually picked up. It's alive and kicking. I'm happy to report. Happy.
Excellent. So I know you love it all. Any particular genre you kind of want to tackle a little more of?
Comedy.
Okay, even better.
Comedy, I know.
Situational comedy or mockumentaries
I love that. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, absolutely. I love. Yeah. So that's what I would like to tackle. Okay. I know. I book all these, you know, the things I usually book, they're so like serious and dramatic roles, and it's kind of like
that's what they're looking for more than comedy. Comedy's harder. I had the opportunity to chat with Frank Conniff, Mr. Science Theater.
Uh-huh.
and I asked him, are people just getting dumber? Like, are the execs just not getting certain satirical stuff? And he's like, no, it's pretty much how fast it is. They want something quicker that they can sell easier.
Yeah.
It's not that they didn't find it funny. It's just they're like, it's too situational. It's too tricky. It's too much of a risk.
Yeah, I could see that.
Might be an Adult Swim show, but it's not something I can have at a prime time syndicated.
Right. Makes sense. Yeah.
Any other dream jobs? We're going to see we're going to see on one of Dick Wolf's procedurals. We're going to see on some sci-fi medical epic.
Sci-fi medical. Something. I want to do it all. Okay. I want to do it all. Let's just put it all out there in the universe.
Leticia Jimenez, the next Scream Queen.
That would be cool.
An original slasher series, not another billionth reboots.
Not the Halloween number 50. No, just kidding.
Oh, hell no. But who knows? It might pay well.
All right. Probably will. Isn't this supposed to be the last one that's coming out now, too?
Until they reboot it again. Michael Myers versus Saw.
I think with Jamie Lee Curtis, I think this is it. I think that's what she said. I think, but you never know, right? They pull her back in. It's all like The Godfather.
Have you ever thought of even doing an original Queenpin epic?
No, but yeah, why not?
Okay.
I forgot about it, but yeah.
Okay, well, this has been a delight just kind of catching up and getting an actual feel for this, because it seems like, you know, those are a dime a dozen. I see so many seminars, and some are by some has-beens who've kind of been out of the industry for a while, so you're not sure how accurate the info is.
And then
there's others where it's like, that's cool, but there's got to be a catch-22. Oh, and now whoever passes this test, I'll now represent, you know, as kind of a contest.
Right.
So are there any other agencies or places to audition that you highly recommend someone try out? Any seminars or even master classes?
I'm trying to think. I mean, actually, for acting, I mean, the more knowledge you have, you know, the more you research, the more in the classes you can attend or stuff like that, but reading books and plays and things like that, you know, going, you know, character development, you know, in the end of the day too, actors are just like, we're people watchers, you know, where it's all about the behavior, you know? Yes. So like, I may not be a drug addict, but I pull from, you know, what I know. And then you know what I'm saying? And then, you know,
go to the area.
Yeah. We observe people. I think, you know, the best trick, I guess, if you really do want to hone your craft is like, just like watch people go to part, like watch people, watch them when they're fighting. Like, don't look away. Just be like, oh, wow.
Don't be a voyeur, guys. But I know.
Don't be voyeurs. But, you know. Just,
don't creep everyone out. Yeah. I know what you mean.
You know, yeah.
Be human, damn it.
You know, and then too, I mean, there is a part, I mean, that this is like, you want to be an actor. Yeah, I mean, you're already used to it, because it's all about like shedding that layer where you're like, oh, the lights on me, the cameras on me. I can, you know, I can do all this, you know, like the whole crying thing, you know, like a lot of people are like, I think there's so many people have so many different techniques for it. You know, you just have to find, basically my best tip would be just to like find what works for you in any kind of sense of the way. So the more people you learn from and the more, you know, knowledge you get, you're gonna be like, ah, that doesn't work for me, but this does, you know? For me, the way I work, I'm more method, but I don't go total method. Like,
you're not gonna creep everyone out, but you're gonna talk in your character voice if you're interrupting. Exactly.
But and the, when you're going through those, and it's kind of like too, like you're like a muscle memory too. You're emoting for like when you cry and stuff like that. Like, you have to, all those emotions are real in the moment, if that makes any kind of sense. And that you're not really acting. You know, because like sometimes you can pretend like, yeah, I'm sad or I'm being sad or whatever, and I'm faking it. But because there's certain techniques you can learn to do, especially in theater, like on stage, there are certain techniques, right? Movement.
Absolutely.
Motion, right. But, you know, but film too, it's so hard because they're like, it's all your facial expressions are so in there and up close. So it's like when you fake that, you're like, oh my God, this person's terrible, you know? So you just have to like feel it and be like, those emotions are real. So you're in them, but you're like, this is real. Whatever my suffering at this moment in time is, I'm crying. This is real. Or like, I'm
Would
really
you say
terrified.
The tone changes up sometimes. Sometimes you don't know if everyone wants to go kind of by what they've seen in other movies, by a formula, versus they're actually trying to get very, very gritty and sometimes gruesome emotions.
Sometimes
the director wants more, but the producers don't want that. They're like, no, it's got to be soap opera-ish.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And then too, it all depends on what, like, it all depends on who's directing you too, because you can give and give and you can, that's why it's also good to have a good, like, repertoire with your director too, because there's, like, there's stuff that you're going to want to bring to this character, because when you read it, you see something totally different than what he sees sometimes. And as long as he or she, but as long as
worried about getting done before lunch.
That, well, then that's your second AD going, right, time, we got 5-10 minutes. Yeah. And you're like, oh, my God, I'm done. Yeah. That's crazy.
Very neat. Very neat. Well, thanks a million. And I'll let you know when this episode drops.
Let me know. It's fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And this was very, I hope this empowers others, but this was very enlightening because, you know, there's so many who is like, they'll give advice, but you don't know if it's the only thing that works for them or if they're actually, you know, quoting someone else. Or,
yeah.
If that makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. That's
okay.
True.
Okay. Well, you be safe out there. Ever-changing world.
You too. You're not in San Francisco, though.
I am not. Yeah, this is, we're contrary. No one can see it. The black background. I have family in San Francisco, but no, I'm in the heat of the storm. That is Dallas, Texas. So one Texan to another Texan.
Nice. Okay. Well, thank you so much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. It was a cool parade.
It was a cool parade.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a Jacked Up.